wonderful. Thank you all for showing up. It's so great to see all of you. And I think everybody knows Michelle, Michelle Green. She's my wonderful assistant. She helps keep me sane. So that all the details.
I try.
Yeah, there's a lot involved in putting together this program. We were just talking about that and how I've come to rely on Michelle. She's very, very helpful. And we've been friends for, what is it like, Michelle?
How old is Jackson? Because he was not two yet when I started.
Yeah, she babysat him when he was a little duffer.
He was a little guy. Yeah. And he's 30 now. So I guess that's about 28 years we've been friends, Wendy.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Long time.
And so now everybody knows my son's name. I kind of don't put it out there because it's to protect his privacy, right? Like, you know, he knows what I'm doing with my program, and he's kind of like rolls his eyes, but you know, whatever. I just, in any of the ads that I do on Facebook to reach out and find, you know, attract people to this program, I never mention his name because I figure it's kind of irrelevant. He lets me use his photos, and I think that's awesome. So that's about all I can ask.
It's about enough. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to do this evening is just spend a little bit of time getting to know each other so that I know a couple of you have expressed how important that is to know that there are other people out there, people who've been through the program, people who... you know, maybe there's some sort of connection that we can all make to feel like we have a resource. I know there's quite a few communities out on Facebook. A lot of them tend to be people who want to complain rather than actually do something. So I know that there's a need for a community of like-minded people who are taking action and are... I mean, that's the big thing, right? Like, you got to take action. You got to put yourself in the path of where you want to go. Otherwise, you're just going to stay where you are. And having been, all of you have on the call tonight have been through the program. So what I would like to do is to just start off with a little kind of an exercise that if I'm able to figure this out with the breakout rooms, it'll be beautiful. So what I would like to do is pair you up, Marilyn and, all of us, there's four of us, but Michelle and I we'll be left in the main room together. I want you to get in a conversation with your partner that I'm going to put in a breakout room with you and see if you can just have a conversation where you're looking for three interesting things about your partner that you can share when you come back into the main room. Okay, so it's kind of like interviewing, and I'm going to do it again too. So you're going to get two partners. So the second time will be a little more challenging for you to find some interesting things. Maybe. I don't want to put words into anybody's mouth. But does that sound like a plan? You okay with that?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
Are those things related to our families or just anything in general about life, ourselves, or whatever?
I would say anything in general, just because, you know, we're all people here. We're not just moms or we're not just, you know, working our way through life challenges. We're people. We have varied interests. I think it would be cool to... I've probably learned some stuff too about you because, you know, when we're in session, we're just talking about stuff that's related to the program and getting to where you want to go. So it's just have a little fun with it. And just I'll give you, let's say, 3 minutes. So you each have a minute and a half. So you're going to have to be kind of focused. Is that okay? You get to know each other in 3 minutes. Guys, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Marilyn.
Hello.
Hi. Where are you from?
I'm originally from New Hampshire.
Okay.
But I've been living in Florida for almost 5 years.
Wow. How do you like that?
I like it. I like the weather. I like it this time of the year, obviously, because The weather's so much nicer, but it can get really hot in the summer, and I do miss my family. My family's up north.
Gotcha.
And I usually get to go visit, but with this COVID stuff.
Right, it's weird times, yet.
Yeah, no travel, so.
It's a glitch, so. How about what things are you pursuing right now that you enjoy, that give you joy?
So I've been embracing this program. Diving in a little bit deeper than I was really able to when I started it, just because I felt like it was Christmas, it was a busy time at work for me, I was recovering from COVID, and you know, I feel like I kind of skated through a little bit. I mean, I did it, but I didn't have, you know, full on, and now I'm, you know, working through it. So it's bringing joy in a way that things are shifting in my life, and in a positive way. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Before COVID, what did you like to do?
Well, I enjoyed kayaking and being outside, and I work at a botanical garden.
Oh, you are so nice.
Yeah. And that's been beautiful, and having that right now, because we can be outside and keep a distance and everybody feels safe and
in touch with nature to feed you.
Yeah. And we have this beautiful carillon, a tower with a carillon with bells that play twice a day, and a carillonneur, he's from Belgium, and he's amazing.
Oh my.
And so it's really, when I'm a colon cancer survivor.
Wow.
And
I'm sorry, but I'm glad.
He's giving you all the good stuff there, Marianne.
Wow. Is right.
But when I got the opportunity to move down here, it was right after I finished my chemo and everything, and it just, everything fell into place. It just felt like it was the right place to be. You know, it was.
Okay. Sorry, I'm going to have to switch you over because we're.
I'll give you a quick rundown, Marilyn. Don't worry. I'm a teacher. I'm learning to summarize. I just did 140 reports. We're good.
Oh,
I love to sing. So being in a choral group gives me joy. And I'm pursuing an international French certificate called the French DELF. I teach French, but I want to up my skills. So I passed, I got 59.5. So I'm not satisfied. So I take courses online every Thursday night to improve my French, which is really helping me connect with my students because, you know, like, yeah, sometimes things are hard, but it's worth it, you know?
Yeah.
And I still work through some parts of the course, especially the gratefulness practice, the gratitude practice, that I find that was the biggest thing for me, because when I get back, and this time of the year is the most challenging time of the year for me. I went through many years of mental health struggle, and which of course affected my family, affected my whole life. And I'm in a healing process, and I look back and I think, holy mackerel. So I am really, really grateful. The kids come up to you, like, they're not allowed to touch you, right? And it's like, and then when they turn around and they say, I love you. You know, and it's just like, you just made my day. I'm where I'm supposed to be, and they're lovely. I have 3 classes of JKSKs, grade 1s and 2 grade 4. I teach French for grade 4 and phys ed, and mental health, actually, it's called Second Step, so it's like self-regulation, and I'm learning right along with them. It's third year, and so I love teaching, so I'm learning myself, and I really enjoy learning, so, and I'm tense now, but I'm trying to stay in the present tense. I'm trying to be present with it and just let it flow. It ebbs and flows, and you know, just accepting a little bit more and surrendering a little bit more. It's helping a lot for me to enjoy my life and accept my life. That's it in a nutshell.
Well, great, ladies. Thank you for being so succinct and so open. I really appreciate that. The others should be joining us soon, hopefully. They've been given their
That's a cute feature. You give them a little warning. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty effective. Yeah.
To get them it's a little bit different on Google Classroom, but.
We just lost Debbie there for a sec. Oh, there we go. So how was that?
It was good.
Yeah. Not long enough, right? We'll do it a little bit longer the next time because, you know, now everybody's got all the good highlights and now you're going to have to dig a little more next time.
Right.
So, Marianne, why don't you go first?
Okay. I was pleased to be introduced to Marilyn, who is originally from New Hampshire, now living in Florida, and had gone through the struggle of cancer, and she's a survivor, so that is amazing. That is a blessing, and we're so happy for you. She works in a botanical gardens, which is awesome, and she loves kayaking. So, she's missing her family, but she sounds like she's where she's supposed to be right now.
Marianne, is that your, there's a sound that's coming through, but like it sounds like the microphone's being moved?
I'll mute myself. I don't know. Well, I don't think so, but I don't know.
Okay. It was while you were talking, so I didn't know if it was you or not.
I'm kind of moving around.
Okay. Well, stay warm there, for goodness sake. Marilyn, you want to tell us about Marianne? What's your mind about Marianne?
I met Marianne, who's a teacher of 30 years, and sounds like a real go-getter as far as wanting to improve her French skills. She's taking lots of online courses to improve her French and to bring it her children, the children that she teaches, and bring them up to a better, higher speed as well. She enjoys singing. I don't know where she sings, but I'm thinking it's maybe a choir. There was another thing, another great thing. She's all bundled up, so I know she lives in a cold place.
I didn't say where I lived.
She's struggled a little bit through the past with some mental health issues, but she's been working through the program, and she works with the gratefulness pieces, being grateful and making some strides there to keep her in a good place for herself.
So. Great. Well, thank you very much. You guys are paying attention. Awesome. Debbie, what did you learn about Jody?
I learned that Jody lives in New York, a place I've never been to but would love to. She has 4 kids, 2 biological, 2 stepchildren, if I'm recalling rightly, and then she's got 2 step-grandchildren, 6 and 3 years old. And I love how creative her ideas are for how to stay in touch with them during lockdowns and isolation periods. What she does is, rather than doing face-to-face the way we are and boring the little kids to pieces with having to sit still and answer 20 questions, her daughter will hold the phone and the kids will just run around the house doing whatever activity they want to do, jumping on the trampoline or whatever other, you know, energetic games they're doing. Mom will hold the phone and then she can interact with them and, you know, admire their backflips and their jumps and everything else that they're doing while they're in motion, rather than, you know, sit still because I'm going to talk to you. And I thought that was so cool. That's such a resourceful, creative way of adapting and making something work that's really hard. And then she also told me that she's had COVID and survived it really well, and nobody else around them has gotten it, even though she tested positive. No one in her family came down with anything, and no negative symptoms and signs. And so feeling pretty blessed, I guess, to not have any negative outcomes there, although she did say that they are starting to run into situations where some people that they know have passed away now from the infection, and so that's been a little bit of a downer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jody, when did you develop COVID?
I had it in May.
I didn't remember that.
I didn't think I told you that.
I don't think you did, because I didn't remember. It seemed like something I would remember, but anyway. I was going to say, you didn't tell Debbie the parties you and your husband have on Zoom every Friday night with wine and the meal, right? You guys have a meal too, right?
We have drinks.
Drinks, okay. With two other couples, is that right?
Three other couples. We're the only ones that still work. Everybody else is retired, so they talk about is what TV shows they watch, and we're like trying to de-stress, you know, we're like sitting here with a bottle drinking.
Oh, that's funny. So Jody, tell us what you learned about Debbie.
I learned that Debbie lives in Winnipeg, and except for this week, they've had a very mild winter. She has two married sons. One lives locally, one does not. She has a one-year-old grandson and a two-year-old, I'm not sure if it's a grandson or a granddaughter. But she also has an eight-year-old Punjabi grandchild, and that is someone who came from East India. She did volunteer work teaching English as a second language, and this woman she became friendly with because she became like her pseudo mom when she gave birth. She was afraid to have a cesarean section the second time around. She gave birth, I believe, last year, and she didn't want a cesarean, and so she stepped in and became her mom and helped her through her delivery.
Wow.
And woman became very close to her and then asked her to be the grandmother of this eight-year-old child, and she is baking a cake for the child's birthday in next week or the week after.
Nice.
Just gonna clarify, that's where the one-year-old, the baby she had a year ago, is celebrating her first birthday on Saturday, and that's the one that I'm making her first birthday, a smash birthday cake for her on Saturday.
That's lovely.
So are you gonna get to drop it off on their doorstep? Is that how it's gonna work?
No, I'm actually gonna go there in person, because we've had a little bit of a loosening up of our restrictions. So we're gonna have just a really small family birthday party, and I get to be part of the family.
Awesome. That is wonderful. I love to hear that. I mean, what more perfect thing than to provide a network of caring for a whole new family to this country who have no relatives here, and to be able to reach out to someone like you who can give them valuable information and tips about how to live in Canada, I think that's amazing.
And the fun part is they've never heard of this thing called a smash cake for a little child for a 1 year old before.
I haven't either, so tell me about it.
Oh, okay. So she basically said to me, can you make a birthday cake? And I said, okay, sure. And then I'm thinking, my family tradition is that for the first birthday, the child gets a cake that you set it in front of them, and they just get to do whatever they want to do with the cake. My 1.5-year-old granddaughter, when she had her smash birthday cake, they put it in front of her, and she just like dunked her face in the icing, everything all over the bottom of her face was like full of icing. My kids, when we did that, just like hands in, and they shredded the cake into many pieces like this and stuffed their face. So it's called a smash cake because nobody's supposed to eat it afterwards. It's just their way of going, what's your first exposure to birthday cake going to be like? You decide. And she had never heard of that either. So.
But you make two, right, for the adults? One,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. One that is fit for you. Yeah. Yeah. There's the one you eat, and there's the one that baby gets to do whatever
with. I'm okay with that. I'm just not okay with not having cake.
Oh, no, we're having cake.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Okay, so are you up for doing this one more time?
Yeah.
All right, let's see if we can do this. So remember, when the little bar comes up, I don't know what it actually says, but there's something you have to press to get into that room.
Join.
And you also have to press.
Click join.
Join. Click join. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see if I can do this here. Give me a sec. Welcome back. So I was just talking with Michelle about this article that I read today by this, he's a professor at
Loyalist Marymount University in Northern California. Anybody familiar with that? Marymount Loyalist.
Marymount. I've heard of Marymount.
Yes?
We have a Marymount school in Winnipeg, but I don't know if it's the same.
No, no.
We have Marymount, New York, so I don't know if they're affiliated.
He's on the executive MBA faculty at Loyola Marymount University in California. Anyway, so he sends me this email today, and I actually read it because I admire his stuff. He's got some really good techniques for brain health and relaxation because, you know, I'm really all about relaxation. I try to be anyway. Anyway, so he sent me this article that he'd written in his magazine called Science of Mind in June. Spirituality, sorry, Jody, wellness and networks in your brain. Jody's not into spirituality. I gave her an opportunity to get into it, but she said no thanks. So I said, okay. Anyway, the thing is that this guy is like, he's a brain scientist, okay? So he does this research into the brain with his other people, with his team. And there's a part of the brain, a rather large part, actually, they split the brain up into like functionalities, right? Rather, not physiology of the brain, but functionality of the brain. And so there's this part of the brain called the salience network. And what reminded me of our program and our situations, right, with our kids, is he said, get this. The salience network have key structures that help integrate perceptions, emotions, and interpersonal experiences, and it plays a crucial role in maintaining the optimal balance between your thinking, imagination, and motivation and emotion networks. The salience network regulates empathy. Okay, so listen to these words: empathy, kindness, forgiveness, and self-love, but it's also the last area to develop and doesn't come fully online until the third or fourth decade.
There's hope.
I was thinking that.
you're an entitled little jerk, you could say to your kid, right? Like, you know, the way we no one else could say that, but we could. About our own kids, right? And then you hear something like that, it's like, there could be an actual physiological brain development thing that's behind their lack of empathy. What else is it? What else does it say here?
Kindness, forgiveness, and self-love.
Yeah, like forgiveness, like empathy, like you know, compassion and caring and putting yourself into somebody else's shoes other than your own. You know, I took you through a few of those exercises, and there's one in your top secret rules, right? A kind of a little minor one that you can do when there's been it's the process to do when there's been a misunderstanding in that document. Anyway, I thought, So I emailed the guy, and I haven't heard back from him because it was just today, but if I do hear back from him, and if he says, yeah, that's a possibility, I will definitely let you know. But wouldn't that be good to, like, know?
Yeah. It's a very highly researched program I teach the kids called Second Step, and you can find it online. Introduces empathy to them, right? The word empathy in JK and SK.
Wow.
Yeah, they start recognizing their emotions, recognizing the emotions of other people, and what to do about it. It's fascinating. It's well researched. So plant the seeds.
The other thing that I thought that would be good for that is, and I've always believed this, just kind of like intuitively, is like a kid having a pet, right? It's like your dog's hungry. Well, you better go feed him. It's time to feed the dog, you know, or the cat or whatever. And thinking about, you know, he's feeling hungry. He's upset because he's hungry. Oh, I know what that's like. I don't know. Anyway, I'll let you know. I just thought I'd share that little gem because, you know, it's like, it's always good to just know that how specifically it's not just about you, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
we would do at this point, and we've just got a few more minutes, but I thought we would make use of the chat, because the chat's kind of a fun thing to help you to summarize how you're feeling, what's on your mind. What I would like you to do is to think about a win that you've had this month, perhaps in the area of your relationship with the child who's been the challenge for you. And if you could just put in the chat like W and then a hyphen, then everybody will know that that's when we look at the chat results, that that's what you're talking about. So a win this month. What's been a win for you? Something small, something big, it doesn't matter. So I didn't put anyway. So let's read from Michelle Green. Her son bought a Fitbit and asked to link with her. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I like that. It's working.
It is. So we're talking almost every day, and even if we're just talking about our steps and where we walked, we're actually talking. that's incredible. So I'm thrilled.
That's great. And that's Danny too, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's Michelle's oldest.
That's my oldest.
Wow.
So Marianne writes, Matt accepted my non-pushy invite for supper and he helped with the dishes.
Yay.
Awesome.
Hold on it.
And so Matt moved out last fall and he lives not too far away, right, Marianne?
Well, he doesn't live too far. In Thunder Bay, everything's close.
Okay. Okay, so she just gave a clue there. You didn't tell anybody that you're from Thunder Bay, right?
I told Debbie.
Yeah, and we're gonna share our findings from the most recent session in a couple minutes. I find that making you wait a little bit is putting it deeper into your memory, right? Maybe. Okay, so Marilyn writes, made her connection with her estranged half-sister. Well, we could just keep going on this call the whole rest of the time hearing about this. This is so awesome. Yay! How did it go? Looks like with a smile on your face, it went well?
Well, I haven't had the conversation with her yet, but she just reached out to me. I sent her a Christmas card, and she just on Monday sent me a text because her phone was, she got a new phone, and she was really wants to connect. So we're gonna
it's so great.
Speak on Saturday, and it's been over 20 years since I've talked to her.
And it wasn't the two of you who made the estrangement, right? There was a parting of the ways between her mother and your father, and you just lost touch.
Yeah. So.
And you weren't even sure that she would have gotten your Christmas card to find out that you were ready to meet.
Right. Yeah. So she did get my card, and it's just going to be. There's a 10-year difference. I'm 10 years older than her, but I'm just really excited just to hear her voice and to just
you're hear giving about me goosebumps. Like really, this is so awesome. This is so great. Can you make sure you let us know what goes on?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I will. You know, I feel like in some ways this is another step of something that I need to move through in order to get to the next level, maybe even with my own kids. So yeah. It's something that needs to
be
worked on.
And you know what? It just occurred to me that let's just, you know, fast forward and assume everything's going to be fine between you and your sister. You have something else to introduce your kids to, right? You have something else of interest to talk about with them and to share with them.
Because she's somebody that they've never even met. They don't even, you know.
Yeah.
Because they're all, Nicole was born just when this all fell apart. So they've never even
amazing. Really. And Nicole is Marilyn's daughter, oldest daughter.
Yeah.
And so she would maybe have heard you talk about your sister, but never had a relationship with her.
Right. Yeah.
And does your sister have children?
No.
Wow. So then there's something of value that you're bringing to her too, you know, I mean, other than the relationship, of course, which is the primary thing, but I'm just thinking like how, you know, it's like a pebble going into a still pond, right? The ripple effect of
yeah.
Trace it back to what? I don't know. Like, it's so cool. Very cool. All right. Awesome. Okay, meet everyone. My son made me dinner. Yay! I looked after his damn cat for 18 days. That's the least you could have done for me. No, it wasn't like that. I love the little guy, right? He's a real sweetheart. But it was very nice for my son to make me a lovely pasta dinner, and then he beat me at Crazy Eight. So there you go.
Yeah.
Debbie writes, her win is she redecorated one of the boys' bedrooms and created a room just for me in the house. Office craft room. Yay! A room of my own. Yay. Awesome.
Kind of cool.
Well, that's fantastic. And this is the room you're in right now, right?
Yeah.
And you've got everything the way you want it, and
it's all mine, all there. Yeah. All of it. It's my own little haven. I can close the door and just be there. It's kind of cool.
That is fantastic.
Your woman cave.
It's my woman cave. I can do crafts. I can. I teach, and so I work from this room also. But it's set up so that I can do crafts and work all at the same time if I want to. So
beautiful.
Kind of like it.
That is excellent. Excellent.
And can I just add? I didn't say this to Marianne before when we were talking, but this is also. A step forward in one of my massive, like, I don't know how to move forward in life zones with my husband is a paper clutter collector, and we have our basement is just like beyond usable because of his paper piles and a lot of disorganization, and Wendy will attest that's been a really frustrating spot in my life for me. And so this was kind of a massive aha moment to go, you know what, if you would pick this room and take this room as yours and just move things around the house, bring up your school files and things from downstairs, it actually creates a space that when we have time, and Norbert is retiring in April this year from his job, so when he retires, he's promised to start helping work on his nest downstairs. Well, now there's a room waiting for him to start organizing and moving things into, rather than starting with just I have a pile of papers and I have no idea what to do with this room. So there's actually a stepping stone of one thing building on another to get us to the goal that I was wanting him to go to. So it's kind of cool. It's a win-win-win.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Congratulations. Yeah, all right, Jody, you say Brett is coming home with his girlfriend for 4 days. What's happening?
He's a little OCD, so he makes all his doctor's appointments in one day. So he's coming home. I thought I was picking him up because I won't let them take the train to Long Island. He lives in the city with his girlfriend. And I thought he was coming home just overnight. But he decided to come home for the weekend so he can watch Super Bowl with us, which I thought was kind of interesting since I hate football. My husband loves football, which means just I have to cook another couple of meals. That's all it really means. But he's coming home, and since he's coming for the weekend, she's coming as well, which is fine because she's my buffer. But, you
know. She's your ally, honey.
She's my ally and my buffer. So they'll be here from next Wednesday night till Monday.
Wow. And what about your daughter? Is she going to be around?
I don't think so. It really depends. Her roommate works for the Department of Health, and they had made it mandatory that anybody that works with the Department of Health has to go into these COVID vaccination centers and screen the people. The problem is that they don't test people before they get vaccinated. So people could say, oh, I don't have COVID, and come in with COVID, and she's going to be in a school in Harlem, which has a very high COVID rate. So my daughter is immune compromised. She has Crohn's. So she really can't be home with her roommate. So I'm not sure when her roommate is obligated to do this. So I'm not sure if she's going to be home. Yeah, that was very long-winded, but I got there.
Sure. No, thank you for explaining that. Yeah, that, hey, there's always opportunities for the two of them. These siblings don't get along very well. Not based on your daughter, but more your son doesn't like your daughter. That's right. Yeah, so... Who knows? He's going to have sports to watch, and you and your daughter can spend quality time elsewhere in the house, right? So.
No, she's at her house, will be home, so we'll see.
Yeah. So why don't we start with you too, Jody? You were in a room with Debbie, I think, wasn't it?
No, that was the first time. I was with Marilyn.
Marilyn. So tell us what you learned about Marilyn.
I learned that Marilyn is originally from New Hampshire, but she grew up in Massachusetts. And her family has a 4-generation florist in New Hampshire that her, I believe her sister still works at. And she, after she had her treatment, she decided that she wanted some change. So she had visited Florida and she had gone down to see a girlfriend, and her girlfriend, I think, got her the interview at this botanical gardens place, and in 5 weeks she made the decision to pack up and move down to Florida, and I think that's amazing.
That's fantastic.
So yeah,
that's great.
A lot of kudos for that. And she lives by herself, and that's an adjustment. And her dad and his girlfriend usually go down to Florida in the winter to escape the cold, but because of COVID, they're kind of stuck, and she hasn't seen him in a very long time. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, Jody, for that. Marilyn, do you want to tell us a bit more about Jody?
Yeah, I feel like we were just chit-chatting, and I don't know that I got a whole lot of... I know she's from New York, from Long Island. She's lived there her whole life. And she's got the accent and she gets picked up, people pick it up, and she's, even from a young age, you know, she was on a bus trip with students back in the day, and she got picked right out of a line of people that she was from New York.
New York. Long Island.
Well, it's a Long Island accent, is it?
I have the T at the end.
And she's got a couple of children and some stepchildren. And I don't know. I don't know that. I feel like we got cut off because I probably hopped up all the time.
And you know what happens in these little mini get to know yous is rapport. Okay, so think about that. You guys got into rapport very quickly, and when it was time up and you got pulled out of that room, whether you were ready to or not, you were feeling, wait a second here, that couldn't have been 4 minutes, but it was even more. So think about that, you know, in terms of when you have conversations with people, just think about how quickly you got into rapport with perfect strangers on Zoom tonight, right? You guys had never met before. Well, I mean, on the 29th of December, we had that interesting experience in multiple rooms, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like these are people you don't know, right?
Yes.
So it's awesome. Debbie, tell us about Marianne.
Okay, Marianne is a fellow Canadian. She's in Thunder Bay, Ontario. Harrah, which is 8 hours away from where I am.
Really? That far?
Yeah. Through beautiful forests, which are absolutely stunningly pretty in winter, but not very safe to drive, but very pretty. She's a teacher. She teaches younger kids, and they had a little bit of time in COVID zone on Zoom teaching, and that was a fiasco. So now she's happy that she gets to be in the classroom and teaching with her little people. She is a caregiver person to a whole bunch of people, to a 90-year-old uncle, 91-year-old uncle, to her 88-year-old mom, and to her dad. She likes reading, and she's starting to get into walking again, and just rebuilding and moving forward in a positive way.
And that's what we're all doing, right?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Rebuilding and moving forward in a positive way. And, you know, when you focus on the positive rather than the negative, that's so important. That's why you started to learn gratitude right at the beginning. I'm going to start doing that gratitude practice over again myself. I think I've been through it, probably at least a couple of times in previous years. So it's time to do it again. In theory, and you know, if it calls to you, you can just keep cycling it. Cycle. Yeah. So, of course, we didn't get to everything that I had on my agenda for tonight, right?
Well, Debbie, or?
Sorry. Yes, of course. I'm sorry.
I'll do it for you.
Go ahead.
Mary, though, she, I'm fascinated because she trains English teachers to teach English as second language through Providence University College in Winnipeg. Did I get the name right, Debbie? Of your?
Yeah, you did. Way
that's
to go.
Awesome. That's why I got started in French immersion. I was going to teach English, and someone said, do you need French teachers? And I was like, really? Anyway, yeah, it was awesome. I'm fascinated by that, so I want to talk to you more about that some other time. Anyway,
okay.
I'm envious of her because she sews and card makes and crochets and knits, and now she has her own room to do it, so I'm really happy. I'm happy for you. Yeah, and so that you have your personal space that's yours. So yeah, thanks for sharing all that with me. I appreciated that.
Do you have a comfy chair to do that crocheting and all that other work in, Debbie?
That I don't do in this room, in this craft room, but I have a reclining chair in the living room that I use for that. It's comfortable. Yeah.
Good, good. But yeah. You store your yarn and things in that room, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we're right at 9 o'clock. How time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yeah.
Now, in the next bonus meeting in February. Oh, wow, it's almost February. Okay, so what I would like to plant a seed in all of you is, what do you want moving forward? You know, a couple of you have mentioned skills development, having perhaps other sessions to do with other relationships that maybe need some specific attention on. Because it, as you know, like with Marilyn, through the program, it not only helps to connect you with yourself and your child, but also with other important relationships in your life. But it was only 12 weeks. And knowing that, life is like an onion, right? Like it's like peeling back layers to see what's underneath, and to see what you're ready to let go of, or to release, surrender, whatever, what relationships you want to work on next. So I'd really love it if you could bring some ideas, maybe even between this call and the next one, and send me an email of things that you're interested in having as an opportunity to work through stuff, whether it's to do with your child, like I said, more skills, or what. It doesn't really matter. It's like, how, what kind of help would you need for your next steps? What are you looking for? In terms of what I'm looking to provide, I will just give you a couple of little things you can think about. See if that's something that interests you. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it does. For me, doing one-offs is not really my idea of a good time.
because there's a lot of work in preparing for a call that I do, and then also afterward and making notes and thinking about how I can support you going on. I'm thinking more along the lines of a six-month program that could have a session each month, such as we did every 2 weeks, but have it be once a month. Have a group Zoom like this. Have an opportunity maybe, like I'm not saying this is happening, I'm just giving you some ideas, okay, just be clear on that one. Having what I would call office hours, meaning I'm available for 2 hours one day a week, or you can come in and get 20 minutes with me to sort of problem solve or to connect in on something that you maybe you need somebody to bounce some ideas off of, or get a little reset on where you're at with your mood or your attitude. So that you know, just having the opportunity to be able to do that, that might be enough. I would want to have in this program the Facebook group, of course, continuing with that, and access to the program, the Relationship Rescue Program materials, because I know some of you mentioned tonight, Jody, that perhaps you, actually it was Marilyn, you might like to relook at the videos at some point. And also get some of the updated materials. I talked to Michelle, I call it incremental improvements, and sometimes it's more than that in the documents that I've given you. So it's always in a constant state of being improved. The more things come up with clients that I think, okay, other people could benefit from this, I put into those documents, just because I'm constantly, that's my mindset, I wanna keep improving things. And then our bonus group, a bonus group Zoom in December, like leading into the new year, where we could maybe even get into a meditation, whatever we want it to be. So there's some ideas for you. Like I said to a couple of you, I've developed programs in my head and they don't come to fruition because they're not based on what people actually want. I can tell you what I want to do, but I need to hear what you want, right? And if you're okay with the way things are now, that's perfectly fine. If you can even let me know that would be awesome. Because, you know, I am quite happy to know that you've got everything you need, and I'm also quite happy to know that you want more. So I'm good either way. Anybody have any questions at this point about our meeting? Anybody have any questions at this point about our meeting? Our meetings?
Well, my only thought is, you know, tonight it was like four of us. Huh? I know six, but you know, four.
Yeah.
And depending on the size of the group, is an hour enough time to really be effective?
Well, I'll tell you.
What's that?
The format that I envision for this is really more than just talking about, you know, well, what are your wins? I mean, that to me is the first step. Another question would be, like, to get you to be thinking about what you've learned about yourself in the month, you know, also helps you to reflect on how far you've come and, oh yeah, I did have that realization, and so I am moving forward. The other one might be, well, what are you focused on now? Are you focused on one child or the other? Are you focused on somebody else? Are you focused on some aspect of that relationship? And then the other part, which I'm thinking would be like most of the call, what do you need help with most right now? So what do you need support with? And then even we can talk about other things, but like I have, Michelle knows, she's helped organize me, but I have like, you know, files and files and files of things that I think would be interesting in this group to talk about. I mean, one of them being, you know, we talked about this in one, I can't remember whose session it was, but a couple of sessions actually. What's the difference between self-compassion and self-pity?
right? Like, how do we know what that really means? And how do you prevent yourself when you realize that you're feeling self-pity from going into, you know, down into victim and not being happy with where you're at? So how do you turn that around? Well, the answer is self-compassion, right? So it's like self-compassion. Self-pity is about, oh, woe is me. This is terrible. This is awful. It's a bad thing. And then, okay, so you've acknowledged yourself. You can spend some time there if you really want to. Have a little pity party. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's kind of fun when you put the timer on and you have to stop. Right? Or you do it between, you know, 5 and 6 a.m. and then that's, you're done. You've compartmentalized and you've had your pity party and now you're done. So how do you come out of something like, you know, that negative feeling of self-pity? Well, you look at, well, how can I support myself right now? How can I be kind to myself? How can I nourish and love myself? Well, you turn it into a verb and you go, okay, so what do I like to do? You've been through this when in the self-compassion part of the program. And so that's the cue to turn it around to looking at, can't solve this problem right now, but I can make myself feel better. And then after that, self-forgiveness for, you know, saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing. You're human. We're going to do it. It's okay. So you kind of like get a little feeling for how I see this being a benefit in a group. I wanted to mention, Marilyn, that every morning, well, most mornings, I'm on a business call between 10 and 10:30, and it's a similar format. And so that's every day. And I agree, maybe once a month is not enough. Maybe it should be twice a month. I don't know, for 6 months. So,
well, I think, you know, maybe once a month is okay. I'm just thinking the time that we're on here, you know, maybe a little bit more than an hour.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. But, okay. I
know we have to establish, you know, our rapport with everybody and get to each other as well, and that takes a little bit of time. So,
yes.
You know, we get into the next one will be, you know, that much further ahead. So.
Sure. Sure. And, you know, I was thinking that in addition to the calls, like having the opportunity to have your own one-on-one with me, like in like 20 minutes once a month, plus a 2.5 hour one, like what we did, right, during the program. I mean, that might, you know, feed your need for individual attention, and then the call, the group call may feed your need for community. I know for myself, community is a really important part of how I feel connected to others who are having similar experiences, whether it's business, whether it's personal.
Right.
So anybody, answers for this question, what was the most valuable from today's call? What did you find most valuable?
We shared some hope with each other. I that's my takeaway tonight.
Hope?
Yep, that we're in the same situation, but look at how we're moving forward. I think that's just beautiful. So
yeah.
I appreciate that. It seems like snail's pace to me, but I'm looking back and I'm thinking it all adds up.
Mm-hmm.
It really adds up, and I do see a difference, and I just want to keep going. I don't want to think that's the end of the course, and then I slide backwards, you know, into.
Yeah, I mean, that's obvious. That's a really good point. It's staying connected in this way. Make sure that you're around like-minded people. You know, they say if you're around people who are I think it was a weight thing. If you're around people who have a lot of weight to lose, you tend to put on weight to be more like the people you spend the most time with. Or if you hang around people who don't have a lot of money, you end up operating at that level as well. So I think it has to do with energy. I think it has to do with interest or just
mindset.
Sure.
There.
Yeah.
Right? Like how you look at the world, how you approach the world, it's all part of that.
Mm-hmm. So you have to hang around with people who are going to build you up, not take your energy or suck you down, right? Or pull you down. So anything else? Jody, anything?
I think I'm not like a group person to begin with, but I think this was helpful to know that, you know, there are other people out there like that I could touch and taste and feel kind of thing, and know that you guys are going through a similar thing that I'm going through, and learning about each of you tonight at least gives me a place to go, or, you know that I can share my experiences with people that I don't really know, but I have a lot in common with, and I, you know, would like to get to know more kind of thing, so that we can all kind of be a group together and kind of help each other whenever somebody hits a rough patch, maybe have our own, you know, Zoom group or have our own online network where we can kind of, you know, put something out there. Like, you know, you're looking for a handyman, you put it on Facebook, and, you know, 20 people in the neighborhood give you the name of the handyman, but we have each other. We can say, oh, I went through that, and this is what I did and helped, or, you know, I screwed that up, and this is, you know, what I think I could have done different, or something like that. You know, and I think just knowing each other and knowing that we're out there, as opposed to, you know, there are other people that Wendy's talking to. Yeah, that kind of was meaningless to me, but now that I see you, and, you know, it drives it all home and knows that we do have a community, and that's very important.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
I think that getting to know each other a little bit helps. It can be hard to be vulnerable when you're hurting. And to be vulnerable in a way that's not engendering pity from other people, but that actually becomes positive energy that we want to be able to share with each other, you know, where we can get to know each other. And like today we were doing rapport building, which is critical.
Because
I find it hard to share the story about my family without that rapport, without degenerating into a self-pity story. Whereas once there's rapport and there's that kind of support, it's easier to just give that information from a perspective of, this is a journey that I'm on. So for me tonight, this was important to start to get to know some people and be able to say, okay, I didn't tell you much about my story, but I know from what Wendy has told us, we're on a similar journey of struggle and progress and moving forward in a healthy way. For me, the rapport building was important.
That's
to
great.
To be able to trust enough to open up and tell the story.
Yes. And in fact, you know, if I can just be really open too about the Facebook group, that may have been the reason why we didn't get more posting there, is people are like, I don't know who that person is, you know. So I do encourage you.
Sorry, the Facebook group to me feels like it's so big and so unknown. I don't know who all the people are. And I am not comfortable sharing my story on such a large platform. So
remember, we're not talking about the public group. We're talking about the private group here. Is that what you're saying? The private group? Because there's two groups, right? Always remember.
Okay. Yeah, I'm mixing them up then. Okay.
Yeah. Fulfilling Relationship Mastery is the Facebook, is the private Facebook group.
Okay.
And it says right in there, this is only for people who are in the program.
Okay.
Or have done the program. Because it's I agree with you. I wouldn't feel safe in posting in a group unless it was absolutely private, like this group right here is, right? Like we're here by agreement to share. And same with now in the Facebook group, that could encourage you a little bit more to feel like if there's something come up between these calls, like between January and February, that you have a place to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All
just
right.
Just one quick thing about your 6-month programming idea. Mm-hmm. And the one month, once a month, I just don't know if in 1 month, like you're going to lose some momentum. I personally would not like to do that, because you're going to be investing time and energy, and you're going to need your help support to keep that momentum going. Because there's when in the reading and everything that people might tend to procrastinate the work. so the accountability is a little bit gone.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that energy, like you're talking, even in Zoom, there, it's not the same as face to face, but you have some kind of that, like you said, that human energy, I like to call it, this real person energy.
Yeah.
Between people, and it spurs you on, because that hard stuff, I knew I couldn't have got through that stuff by myself. I couldn't, or I would have put it aside. I would have just said, this is too hard for me.
Sorry, which stuff?
You know, when you're going through the, you know, hard bits, whatever of the program is hard for you,
mm-hmm.
you need somebody to walk you through that.
Yes.
It's not something you can just read and do.
Sometimes, yes, yes. Okay. Right, accountability. And, you know, there's ways to set that up, too. And I'll put some thinking into that, about how, if we're talking about a program that's different, it's not the Relationship Rescue Program, you're finished that, right? This is I'm calling it the Relationship Optimization
Program. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were changing your program. Okay.
No. This is like step two, right?
Got it.
Step one was getting the basics and getting started in all these different areas, and then...
Oh, okay, then I take all that back. Sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah, because once you've been through it and you start to experience some success, you know you can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And yet, there's perhaps not as many opportunities in doing in the Relationship Rescue Program to get, like, proficient on all of the things that you learned about, right? So it's like you have the basics, and the accountability will help you to keep practicing them so that they become your go-to. Like, I have the skills now. Oh, I forgot about that. But yeah, okay, I know I need to do that, right? As opposed to, well, what the hell do I do? So sometimes the repetition over time is what's going to solidify that into your neurons, so that you're going to be thinking about that first.
Do you have any next step comments I made on report card that just sounds just like that? That's awesome.
That's great. Okay. Well, thank you so much, ladies, for showing up. Again, any of your thoughts, ideas, what you really want. I mean, let's figure out how to make it happen together so that I'm meeting your needs for moving forward. And just know that if you need nothing, I'm good with that too. Okay. So thank you for being here, and thank you for being your awesome self. I love each and every one of you, and I'm so glad that we've all connected and that we're here tonight and we're moving forward.
Thank you, Wendy.
Great. Nice meeting everybody. Bye.
Love meeting you.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, everybody.